Nerdish,
nerdy,
nerd news.
Hi, and welcome to Nerdish, Nerdy, Nerd News. Come along and ride with us as we explore, discuss, and nerd-splain some of the most interesting topics of today.
Hey, I'm Tim. Hung around with nerds a lot growing up, hoping that it would rub off. I think it kind of did, because I'm kind of nerdish. As always, my co-hosts.
Hey, thanks, Tim. I'm Christian. I've been playing and writing, creating games and Dungeons & Dragons since high school. My idea of a relaxing weekend is playing vids with my buds online. I also used to do complex math troubles with my dad for fun. I am very nerdy. And with us to help us understand the world a little better.
Hi, I'm Jess. I've been programming and using computers since the early 80s. I'm a voracious reader, consistently going through about 500,000 or more words a month. I've got some biochemistry in my background, and I've been using technology for as long as I can remember. I am the nerd.
Are we getting paid for this, or?
Well, only in Bitcoin.
Bitcoin?
Yeah.
What is Bitcoin?
Well, you know what Bitcoin is. You've seen it in the news, Tim. Come on.
A little bit.
Bitcoin. Yeah. So cryptocurrencies. They're pretty interesting, actually. Cryptocurrencies were created in 2009. So they've been around for about, 13 years now at this point?
I don't have any of those yet, though.
No?
No.
No.
I love how you both look at me as you're explaining this. This is like a tutorial, especially just for me.
Well, I don't know much either, Tim. So like that's why we brought the nerd here to help us, is he's going to tell us what we need to know.
So yeah, so cryptocurrencies, they've been around for about 12 or 13 years now. When they were first created, they were created as like an experiment in new currency, not trading, but like paying for and everything. And it was designed in such a way that you didn't need a central bank. There is no central bank. There is no backing for the currency. So it's not a fiat currency.
So how does it...
Like how does it retain its value?
Is strictly retained in the fact that people are willing to trade the currency for other currency or for items or services.
So this is basically like a fancy barter system.
Pretty much, except there's a lot more to it than that.
Because I've got some dirty old shoes in my closet. I wonder if those are worth anything.
Well, it depends on who you're trying to sell them to. There are markets for that, but we're not in here to talk about that. So
where does the value come from then?
Like,
it doesn't come from old shoes.
No. So, like the value comes from the fact that people are willing to trade items, currencies, goods, services for cryptocurrency. So it's sort of like, think of it like the Canadian dollar, but it wasn't backed by gold and everything else. It's just a currency that's used to trade for goods and services. And the reason why it keeps value is because it's impossible to counterfeit. Is the first bit. It's impossible to counterfeit. You cannot counterfeit cryptocurrency.
I'm still super confused because how does it have any... So who creates the value? Who created the initially Bitcoin,
the idea of
Bitcoin?
I think I can actually answer that one, Tim. So like, think of the three of us here, and I've got a $5 bill. And you want that $5 bill to buy a $4.99 drink at the bar. Well, I take that $5 bill and I go, how badly do you want that drink at the bar, Tim? Well, what would you give me for it? Oh, well, I'd give you my jacket. Well, your jacket's worth $200 just for this $5 bill to buy it.
You guys told me I wouldn't have to do math. So.
We said a little bit of math. So
you've now made that $5 bill valued at $200 because you didn't have the bill on you, right? Okay. So in order to for people here on the internet and for people around the world to use that currency, it's become the value of what you think it's worth and what you will pay to have it.
Right. It's very similar to stocks. You know, it's someone who has a stock. You look at GameStop, which has been in the news for the last couple of years for its the things that happened with it. But GameStop, you know, people are willing to pay so much per stock for GameStop because of the value of the stock and what they do. This is similar. They're willing to assign value to it because of what they can do with it and the way it works. And so let's get back into that a little bit. it can't be counterfeited. So that's the very first thing. You can't counterfeit any kind of digital currency.
You can't get your printer out and start making dollar bills like you do at home now.
And so someone would say, well, what about a hacker if they get in the middle of a transaction? Well, every transaction, it's on a public ledger. So every computer out there that is using Bitcoin, let's use Bitcoin as an example, has that public ledger. And it's kept up to date for every transaction that's performed.
So I can see it.
You can see the transactions. You just don't know who they're going to because they use these big, long digital wallets.
Kind of looks like the Matrix chunk of like data coming down from the sky.
So yeah, you can look at it. It's called a block. And you can say, all right, in this block, there is this transaction that went from this wallet to this wallet. And I know that that transaction happened because when I ask all of the other people out there, hey, do you guys, this block, does it agree with mine? They all go, yep.
Jess, what's a wallet? Because I got a wallet in my pocket right now, but I know I don't have any Bitcoin or crypto.
I don't have any Bitcoins in my wallet.
It's the term that it's used for just like a
bank account?
No, an address that Bitcoin is assigned, a value of Bitcoin is assigned to.
Okay.
And they're usually like these big, long, I can't remember exactly how many. It's like just like a whole bunch of letters and numbers and digits and things. And it's like 60 characters long. But it's just an address that's used. Like you have your bank account number.
Yeah.
Except this is a wallet address.
Well, I have Tim's too, but don't tell him.
So when you have a transaction, you would say, hey, I'm just confirming this transaction because someone sent me some money. Do you have that? And as long as three other wallets that you've contacted have that, then your transaction is approved. It goes through.
Oh, and that's where the verification comes in.
And that's where the verification. So if one person says, no, I sent you 5,000 Bitcoin. No, because everyone else shows that you only sent me 5.
So how do I go about getting Bitcoin?
So there's lots of ways.
Or well, any cryptocurrency.
Yeah, any cryptocurrency.
Because Bitcoin is like the gold standard and the original standard right now. So there's tens of thousands of different cryptocurrencies.
Yeah. Well, there's the top like big ones. There's Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Tether. I'm just going to list them off here. Ethereum, Dogecoin, Litecoin, and there's like 30 others. And the differences between them is just like between like the Canadian dollar, the American dollar. They all have their own individual values and are tradable between each other. The biggest difference is the computer algorithm, the calculation that's used. And we're going to get to this because you asked, how do I get them when they're created?
So, okay. So this is where I'm really terribly confused still.
Me too.
Probably will. So I thought that they weren't held against any kind of standard.
Well, it's the same. Like when you say, what's the American dollar worth? What do you compare it to?
I still thought we were way back in gold.
But let's say, I have 100 American dollars, how many Canadian dollars is
how
that?
How many Canadian
when
dollars?
When I say I have 100 Canadian dollars, how many American dollars is that worth?
Right.
You can always compare currency to another currency, and that's the same thing with cryptocurrency. So when they say Bitcoin is currently worth, as of this morning when I checked, it's currently worth about $48,000 Canadian per coin. And that's just how you assess value.
So I got to come up with $48,000 to buy a Bitcoin.
One coin.
If you're to buy one coin. That's like saying I have to have, like when you go to a store and they say, all right, that'll be $8, not $7.63. You can break Bitcoins up into portions. I think it goes down to like 10 decimal places.
Okay, because I was already willing to say, I'm out. Yeah. There's no way that I will ever have a Bitcoin in my digital wallet.
At 48,000 Canadian dollars for a Bitcoin, if you had 0.000, I don't know how many zeros there are, you put like 5, I think, you'd have $4.80 equivalent.
And each of the other cryptocurrencies, just like all the other monies in the world, are all at different values. So like Bitcoin is, like I said, the top of the
big
game.
Daddy.
See, this is where I thought like I could just kind of go on a video game or go onto a site and mine this stuff and earn this stuff, and that's okay.
Yeah,
I guess I got to pay real money for
it. Well, you can. That's the first way that you can get cryptocurrency is you can
trade it with real money.
Fiat currency, the Canadian dollar or American dollar or whatever fiat currency, which is a currency backed by gold or some other valued substance, to buy it. Right? That's just currency trading.
Tim's monopoly money backed by Tim.
Yeah. There's a couple other ways. You can first you have to get some to be able to trade it, just the same as other money. So
for $48,000.
So you go and you buy $100 worth of Bitcoin today.
Okay.
And you have $100 of Bitcoin sitting there. And then in a week, it's not worth $48,000. It's worth $65,000 per Bitcoin. So now that 0.000 whatever that you'd bought is now worth more.
Okay.
And then you would trade that for fiat currency or for another cryptocurrency. And then you'd wait until Bitcoin went down and then you'd buy. So you buy low, sell high. And there's a lot of people that make a lot of money doing just that.
Yeah. And that's one way of getting more or getting more money, real world money.
Right.
Starting to get it. I still feel I'd be declaring bankruptcy though if I actually.
and that's one of the things I do want to make a warning here. Anyone who's listening and to you guys too, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is like a high risk, high value investment that you can lose money at. Because if you bought it, say last week where it was at 62 and or 58 even, and then today it's 48, you've just lost money because that value.
I actually promise you that I would lose money at this point if I was investing in it. But
right. So it's something that learning. You have to be aware of, that when you invest in cryptocurrency, it's a high-risk investment.
So hear that, folks. We're not telling you to buy Bitcoin.
unless you think you're smarter than everyone else.
or you're experienced or you're willing. It's a long-term investment too. Mm-hmm. Right, you're not going to put it in and then pull it out 5 days later. You're going to put it in. You're going to give it time, and you're going to watch the trends. It does have trends.
Yeah. And now, so one way of getting it is trading real currency. What are some of the other ways? Because you've got some mining rigs and things like that's beyond even me as the nerd, as the nerdy one.
Part of the way cryptocurrency is generated is. Computers are used to solve extremely complicated computational math problems. But the thing is that they're so complicated that they can't be calculated. They have to be guessed at.
This gets more terrifying as we talk about.
Yeah, I know. This is the part that I'm not going to go into too deep because this is where it becomes extremely math. And if you're a mathematician and you want to learn about it, go for it. It's really interesting, but not something that anyone needs to know. You just need to realize that when someone says they're mining cryptocurrency, they're mining Bitcoin, they have a computer that probably has a pretty impressive graphics card because they're the ones that do the lion's share of that work. They're really built for it.
So your phone, you can't mine it on your phone.
No, and just a regular old computer, they just don't have the oomph to be able to do it. You need something that can do hundreds of thousands or millions of guesses a second.
Once again, folks, I don't think that I will ever be the owner of a Bitcoin.
However, like I said, graphics cards. So the newest graphic card, which is on the market, that is probably the best, is the NVIDIA 3090. Video card. It's been out for a little more than a year now, and it is extremely good at mining.
Just one of those cards
will run at 100 mega hash. One hash is one guess. So you're talking about 100 million guesses. Is that right? Mega?
Why do I feel like crying right now?
The math.
Per second.
This is where Jess loses me as well, yeah. Tim.
It'll guess the answer to this incredibly difficult math problem 100 million times a second until it finds something that it thinks is correct.
And when it does that,
it submits it out to the world saying, hey, I've made this solution. Somebody check it. And that's where other people can make money. And that's what I do. I provide my systems to other people to utilize its processing power.
As a verification.
Verification or for transactions, because transactions all have to have that done too. But the transactions are a lot easier than the actual.
And
initial.
So that's one way, like Jess does, to like his one card averages about what?
80, because I don't have the really good one. I have like just one below that. So it averages 80 million guesses a second.
Yeah.
And it makes about, $5 a day.
Just sitting there turned on.
Yeah.
And that's after his power use. So that's what these big mining rigs that you hear these guys with the big with the big shipping crates. Right. They'll have
50 or 70 of those things running.
Yeah.
So you got the robots working for you. What if they turn on us?
Well, they'll have lots of Bitcoin to buy stuff with then.
They'll have Bitcoin.
Yeah. So yeah, that's one of the drawbacks to cryptocurrency is it uses a very, very large amount of power. And that's one of the big things in the news today is the environmental impact of those. You'll hear about like in the States, I think in Texas they have, or somewhere down there, they have an entire power plant dedicated to running a cryptocurrency.
Actually, mining. just this last year in Alberta, they've been doing the same thing. They've got some of the old oil wells. They've
burned the sour gas.
They've tapped into them, and they've got generators hooked up to the sour gas, and they've pulled these semis into there, hooked up a generator, and the generator is powering the entire mining.
This is already becoming super huge.
Yeah, yes. Like these are not little companies. Like these mining companies that they're doing this, they're making hundreds of millions. Yeah.
So there is already monopolies starting to kind of get on this wagon.
Yep.
What chance do I have as the little guy of actually getting on board then?
You always need to have that transaction proof. So when someone uses Bitcoin to buy something or trades a Bitcoin, someone has to process the transaction.
Now, whether it's these big mining guys doing it or whether it's you, you're still making the same amount per little unit. So you can have your little unit like Jess's, and that's $5 a day he's making after his power usage.
Right.
So he's already factored that in. So he's making $5 a day just for his machine to sit there and be turned on doing this rather than turned on and doing nothing. Like a lot of people's computers just sit there, right? Like,
yeah. So there's my computer. There's my roommate's computer. We have both of us have the same thing. So we're making about $10 a day. You know, after a couple months, that's enough to take a vacation on.
I guess so.
Right? Huh. That's where the smaller people like you and me, if we're making money, mining it's called, that's how we do it. You do have the mid-level ones where they're the people that have – and there are people here in Moose Jaw that do this. They have a container that's full of these cards that do that processing, mm-hmm. and they're making thousands of dollars in a month on it.
And there's places you can find people like that who are actually looking for investors too. Yeah. You know, $1,000, $5,000. You can invest with them to build this rig and then be a part of that mining rig. And
this is starting to sound though, kind of like to me, the same kind of system that, you know, our fiat money,
yeah.
our money.
It's coming to that. There is a lot of pressure from regulators, specifically governments and financial institutions like Bank of Canada and the United States Treasury and things in all countries like that to say this needs to be regulated. There was a huge upset in Canada about 3 or 4 years ago where a place called Quadriga, which is one of the largest Bitcoin exchange, one of the largest
underwear exchange?
currency exchanges in North America disappeared and took hundreds of millions of dollars equivalent with them. And not just in Bitcoin, but in Canadian funds as well. They just poof, gone.
And so with these not being backed, are there like...
Well, and that's where it's coming forth now.
Is there some like... I know there's been some examples. I know I've seen some examples of like this is... all on the internet. It's not like it's not like my account is traced with the bank and the bank and I've got a paper copy that says I have this. Right. So I know.
So a lot of people are not using private wallets, which is what we were talking about before. It's just an address that has that money assigned to it. And it's something that they have on a thumb drive or on their computer at home. A lot of people are using something called an exchange. And that's what this Quadriga one. And there is a lot of worry about that. There's one in Canada called BitBuy. And this is in no way an endorsement for you to use them specifically. It's just an example. There are multiple exchanges in North America. But BitBuy actually has backing just the same as your bank account does for insurance. It's by the same people even. So, you know, if a bank goes under, your account is insured for so much money, they have the same thing. So if you have $50,000 in Bitcoin and this company goes under, you'll still have that money given back to you.
And so some of them do have that. And then that's where the research on your part looking into different cryptocurrencies.
Right.
You've got to see if some of them are insured, if some of them, you know, like, you know, if you start to go and you get Bob's coin. And you don't know who Bob is. And Bob's just made this algorithm up. basically you're investing in Crazy Bob with the tinfoil hat on the corner, and you're hoping he's going to bring you back more money than you gave him.
So right. For some reason, I still feel like even though this is probably at some point going to become the primary medium of exchange, I'm still going to be poor.
It's the same as any other investing in currency and investing.
You just, yeah, currency, stocks.
The only difference is that I can provide hashing power, computational power from my computer that's just sitting there at home, and it can earn me a few bucks in Bitcoin, which gets me into it. And then if you really want to get into it more than just making a few bucks a day like that, you can start currency trading for fun. If you're not worried about losing the money, or if you're in it for the long haul, there, like, that's the perfect way to do it. Keep it in Bitcoin until you're like, you know what? I want to buy a new fridge. Oh, that's going to be $1,200. Let's see what's in my Bitcoin. Oh, I've got $4,000 equivalent sitting there. That's when you cash out your portion. And you'll pay a little bit of a transaction fee, because that's how people like me makes my money. I make the transaction fees off of that.
So what sort of things have people bought with this? Like, I know I've seen you, you know, take some of your Bitcoin out and buy, you know, a new air conditioner, or, you know, upgrades to your house. I mean, are there extremes to this?
So just as an example, the very first purchase made with cryptocurrency was made with Bitcoin. And when was that? It was in, oh, it was quite a while ago, like 2009
or 8 or something,
Yeah. It was a pizza. I think it was Papa John's pizza that was purchased with Bitcoin. Guess how many Bitcoin it was purchased with?
Well, today's value, 0.0000001.
Yeah, like $40, which would be, you know, like a zero followed by 0.0, what you said. But back then, because Bitcoin was not worth very much, it was only worth pennies for each one. It was 10,000 Bitcoin. So that pizza in today's value would
you
be worth.
You guys said I wasn't going to have to
here
do
comes,
math.
Here are you ready? Tim. You ready? $500 million. What?
Yeah.
Half a billion, $500 million equivalent in today's Bitcoin.
How's that for a pizza?
That better be the best pizza ever made.
Tim, you're still going to the bathroom after it.
Yeah. I think so.
It's insane. It's insane. But yeah, and there's guys around the world here who, like, they're investing in Bitcoin for fun, and they had like a whole bunch on a personal wallet, like hard drive. And they're like, yeah, this will never be worth anything. And they tossed it, or they accidentally tossed it. There's a gentleman in the UK somewhere who's trying to get permission to
I think it's in Newport in Maine.
Oh,
like
Newport,
in,
okay. Yeah. It's somewhere. He's trying to get permission from the local council to dig into the landfill to find this drive, because it's worth like $400 million American dollars.
Yeah.
He's
appealed to the council. He's even told them he'll give him a percentage of what he get. Like when
he'll
he gets,
share it.
He knows where it is in the dump because of the year it was thrown away
and approximately how deep.
This is treasure hunt new level.
Yeah,
and it's just because it's something that he was maybe playing with back in 2010 or 2009 when it was first coming out. So he had thousands of them set aside.
So there are treasure hunters now looking for actual buried Bitcoin.
I think you're in the room with one.
Yeah, we just found Tim's new hobby. Yeah.
Another place that it's been used is in Amsterdam. There's a company there that will use Bitcoin as collateral for mortgages, loans, and et cetera.
Yeah, so it is becoming a little more mainstream.
Yeah.
Well, it could potentially, with the traction it's gaining, it could maybe take over as a primary medium of exchange.
I don't think it ever will.
I think the robots will make that happen.
I think cryptocurrency, it'll never disappear, really. I think it's going to become very similar to a lot of the other investment plans that you'll see out there. It's a high risk, long term, and you'll see it continue to be something like that. But you will see some kind of digital currency that comes forth that will replace it. Where instead of, we're very close to it now when you have the tap your phone or tap your card and it's just done. So
I've learned a lot here. I think we're getting to a point where I might start joining Jess in the world of having my own rig.
I'm terrified still, to be honest.
But you know, Tim.
Now I think the James Cameron story of Terminator might come true, or has a potential to.
And they're going to have all the money to do it.
They're going to have the Bitcoin to do it, I will still have nothing. I'm still slightly terrified.
There are debit machines around town, even here in Moose Jaw, that have Bitcoin exchanges. So you can take your debit card and buy a Bitcoin or portion of a Bitcoin right in a debit machine if that's where you want to go.
That'll be a talk for another day.
Yeah, guys. We'll tell you when to
I'll
go there.
I'll need you to hold my hand for that.
Yeah, we'll tell.
But thanks, Jess, for trying. I've probably been looking at you like a deer in the headlights for most of the discussion.
We'll get you into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, whether you like to or not. Kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
We'll get there. Thanks, guys. We'll get there. Thanks again for letting us into your ear holes with this nerdish, nerdy nerd news podcast. Check out our website at wildshot.ca.
You can find us on all the socials under Nerdish Nerdy Nerd News. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also subscribe and support us at patreon.com/nerdish to get more bonus content, show notes, and merch.
If you'd like to send us topics for future episodes or comment about our existing ones, please email us info@wildshot.ca. And remember, stay nerdy.
Nerdish, nerdy, nerd news.